I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 39. The 2012 Outback Steakhouse Chevrolet Impala, driven by Ryan Newman, the Rocket, to victory at Martinsville.
That was very good.
You got the clock. It's very, very cool, gold logo, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Outback Steakhouse. If only Nate was here to do his willpower.
I know.
All right, on tonight's episode, we'll discuss NASCAR at Talladega. And it almost was Ricky Bobby.
I mean, it was just about what I've summed up every NASCAR race to be.
That's right. We'll also talk Fanatec GT Series, or the IGTC, 8 hours of Indianapolis, which actually was a really good race. Very kind of cool seeing Indianapolis at night in the dark. If they do some more races, they're going to have to put some more lights up, but it was cool. I thought. So.
At Indy.
Yeah.
I mean, they got... It's enough
for
what it is right now, yeah. But yeah, I mean, if they do more night racing, then yeah. Although I don't know what their if they have any rules with the city, because the track's more or is closer to the city than a few others.
All right, and then we'll talk news and notes, and then we'll look ahead to Petit Le Mans. The IMSA finale this coming weekend. Is it 1,000 miles or is it 10 hours? It used to be whatever came first.
Yeah, I think we're just defaulting to 10 hours.
10 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I had it up. I don't. Sorry.
No, it's still listed as 1,000 miles or 10 hours.
Is it?
Although I, yeah, so roughly. Wait a minute. Why is this? No, never mind. I stand corrected. Since 2014, the duration is 10 hours without distance limitations.
Okay.
All right, so it's been a while.
Going right into the official IMSA website here. According to the official schedule. Starts at 12:10, ends at 10:10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it. I misread the.
Now, my favorite thing of this. My favorite thing of this whole weekend. Is starts. Tomorrow's all. Well, qualifying and practice for the Underling Series, but it all starts on Thursday.
For the big guys.
No, well, yeah, they have their practice sessions, but we have the Porsche Carrera Cup races, race one.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Mazda MX-5 race. Sure. We have the Michelin Challenge. Pilot Challenge practice and qualifying.
Yep.
And then on Friday we have, oh, the VP Challenge race. Yep. When is that? Oh, no, hold on.
That should be Friday as well.
Nope, it's, hold on, there's a VP Challenge race on Thursday and a VP Challenge race on Friday.
Okay.
And then we have race two of the Porsche Carrera Cup. We have race two of the Mazda MX-5 Series. Then we have the Michelin Pilot race. What time does that start?
It's probably in the afternoon on Friday.
2 hours, 12:45 to 2:45. Then we have WeatherTech qualifying Friday afternoon.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Busy. It's a great race weekend to go to.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. So let's get into it. NASCAR, Talladega. Welcome back to Victory Lane, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And actually, he was pretty competitive all week, all day, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed out front, stayed out of the mess. I mean, the race overall was, you know, it was back and forth, guys jockeying for the lead, and then we got the five laps to go, and then the field decided to disintegrate. 27 cars got taken out.
Yep.
And Bad Brad started it.
No. No,
yes.
He wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't do it, but he did it.
Ugh.
He did it. Punted to Austin Cindric, and that started the whole thing. And then he kept going. So, Nate's not here to defend him, but... So then we had an overtime shootout, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty much... The front four really didn't... They stayed lockstep all the way around, and ultimately it was Stenhouse with the win, Keselowski, William Byron with a fine move to the outside to trying, you know, just side draft everybody, got third. So he pipped Larson for third, and Larson got fourth with Eric Jones, Christopher Bell, Justin Haley. Oh, hey, Austin Dillon, eighth place. Denny finished 10th. And then SVG finished 15th. But here's the kicker. SVG set the fastest NASCAR lap on the track.
All draft.
199 miles an hour. That was pretty cool.
Like ever?
Yeah.
That's the fastest a NASCAR has ever done. Apparently, that's what it said.
Not, I mean, no, I think it, I don't know. Maybe on the restrictor plates, who knows? I don't know. This is what it said. You know, I'm just reporting
199.
I'm just putting fastest. I'm putting SVG fastest NASCAR.
Well, I mean, like you said, in true NASCAR fashion, we couldn't end this race under green. We had a, or
yeah.
Well, I mean, we did end it under green, but we couldn't end it in a on a long green run. We had to end it under a green white checkered in overtime. So that's another one for the stat sheet. That brings up our total.
Hold on, it's coming up.
We have our total number of races. Finishing under a green white checkered up to 13 out of now it's been 31 races.
SVG had the fastest lap in a next gen car, 199.438
okay.
miles an hour.
All right, there you go. That makes a little bit more sense.
I know. Well, it's not the 217 that Bill Elliott ran, but no. Damn. Anyways, all right, that was just. As I watched it. I'm like, oh, this is like they're all playing nice, doing well, and then they all crap the bed. Mm-hmm. Five to go. 27 cars. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's talk points here, as we do. William Byron is your point leader right now with a 17-point lead over Christopher Bell and a 22-point lead over Kyle Larson. Denny's in fourth, followed by Bowman, Blaney, Reddick, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, who did not help himself this weekend with the crashing out, Daniel Suarez. However, Cindric, he's still in it. Cindric is 11th. He moved up a place, even though he crashed out. All right, there we go.
Off to finish the right. Road course.
Oh, is next weekend an elimination race?
Elimination race, and it's at the Charlotte.
Oh, it's at the Roval.
Yeah.
All right. So, this is too bad Nate's not here. I'd actually like to do picks, but I won't do it.
No, we're not doing picks.
I got two guys I'm picking. So
the only race we do picks for in NASCAR is the 500.
The 500 Daytona.
Yeah, that's the only race I've allowed.
Okay. All right. Okay. The roll will be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I got a new configuration, so.
Yeah.
They've made the final hairpin a little bit tighter, and then they've added a left-right-left complex in the towards the end of the infield section. I mean, it's the turns already existed there, but they just they're deciding to use that little piece that they skipped through for the past couple years.
Ah.
Speaking of new tracks, IndyCar.
Yeah, well, we haven't got there yet. We got one more race we got to talk about.
What do you mean?
We got to talk about the 8 hours.
Ah, that was a perfect segue right there.
No, hold on. I'm trying to find the freaking. Hold on. Oh, this is why it's all a mess. Hold on a second. Here it is. Sorry, because they this was on Saturday and it was other Fanatec racing on Sunday. Mm. So this race, 25 cars took the flag. We had pro and pro am, but we had some of our European friends who run in IGT, along with the Americans that run in the Fanatec series. And then we had our pro-am cars, which were just basically anybody with an AM driver, bronze driver, and then they had it broken down into U.S. and foreign. But, 25 cars, not bad, which made it plenty of room on the track. But from the get-go, the Wright Motorsports Porsche was on it all weekend. Alex Palou was in Mercedes. They were fine until they hit problems, and then that kind of set them back. But it was definitely the Porsche of Wright, and then the other Porsche. One of the other cars that the Herberth Porsche was it the Herberth Porsche? Yeah, the Herberth Porsche, which was running Pro Am. They were running like 1-2, and the Herberth Porsche got overall pole, even though they were Pro Am car. That's what I like about that. I do like that series. It's just hard to follow what class people are in.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the interesting things was the Race's Edge Acura was in the top five all day. Led for a bit, was up front. The Group M Mercedes, that was a contender all day. Who else? Oh, and then of course the two WRT BMWs. So it was awesome. I thought it was a great race. In Pro Am, the BMWs were kind of up front and running with it, and then all of a sudden, two of the top BMWs in that class all ran into fuel pump issues. which was weird.
Yeah.
And that kind of handed the, title in Pro-Am to, in the Fanatec series to Turner Motorsports, who were, they needed a Hail Mary and they got it. So it was pretty cool. The end of the race got interesting, though, as the Wright Motorsports car received a penalty in the last 45 minutes for an infraction that happened an hour and a half before that.
Okay, that so I tuned in with like 30 minutes to go just to kind of see what was going on. And I saw that they had a penalty, but it was I don't know if I just didn't catch it at the right time when they were talking about it, but I never understood what they got.
Yeah, so what the penalty was all the cars pitted. They all pulled out. They exited the pit lane, and they were going down pit lane. And then at the towards the end of the pit lane, Heinrich kind of backed the field up in the pit lane, so he intentionally kind of slowed up, which that got kibot. That was what the penalty was. So basically, he was impeding the speed in the pit lane.
Gotcha.
So. That was tough.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought the Fanatec series to a conclusion. So, but yeah. A fun race. I thought fun race. Kind of tough because you had the, you had the IMSA race there. What was that? 6 hours.
Yep.
You know, like that was 2 weeks ago, right? 2.5-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, like that.
And then you run this back-to-back. So, I mean, it's like, oof, that's a lot. But the Fanatec guys, they put on a good race. They had a lot of racing going on Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday. So, all good. So, have to be applauded for that.
And did we mention last week that Keanu Reeves was running that?
Did run the GR Cup Series.
I mean, not... He finished.
So. He did, which was good. He stayed out of trouble. So. Yeah,
exactly.
But he said he had fun, so he might be back.
That's cool.
Anyways, all right. Let's turn to news. And today's big news was the announcement of the Dallas Grand Prix in IndyCars. So why don't you take that away, Christian?
Before we get into this, didn't you mention this last week that they were talking about this?
Yes.
Okay, but it wasn't confirmed.
No, today was the official announcement, but it did get confirmed. I had was confirmed.
All right. Anyways, so I don't know. I think it's IndyCar's version of Miami.
Vegas. Because it's got the mile-long straight.
Yeah, but Miami's got a super long straight too. But then the thing that this Dallas track has is a triple left hander. I think it is turn or like this. That's like 180 degrees. Actually, I think it's more than 180 degrees. But I think that complex is really the only iffy part to me. Everything else is fine, but it's fine because it's just a bunch of 90 degree corners and hairpins.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean it is what it is, but and I say it's a little bit more like Miami than it is Vegas just because they're also doing it right next to the NFL stadium.
Yeah. So it's that in the Rangers stadium.
Yeah.
They're in the same spot.
I mean it's in a good location, and I guess like the Nashville Street Course was supposed to be the similar idea where it was going to go around the Titans football stadium.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess this seems to be the way motorsports is some of these bigger series are moving for these street course races because you can utilize the big parking lots to your advantage, which is fine. It all makes sense. And plus, if you're in a sporting event area, it might be a little less chaos rather than trying to just plop it right in the middle of a city.
Right.
They're also utilizing the double lane pit lane. So it like how they have it at Detroit.
Yeah.
I guess it's not. It's just different, but I mean it works. So it saves them some space, which makes them a little bit interesting as well, because it's just unique to the IndyCar series. I don't know of any other series that does something like that.
Yes.
And then what it said it was supposed to happen in March of 26.
Yes, so 26, not 25.
Yeah, we still have another year before this.
Yeah, right. That's correct.
A year and a half before we even get to this.
Yep.
But I mean, is that gonna take place? Take the Thermal Club race, or I'm sorry, no, replace that?
Huh? No, I don't think so. I mean, no one's talked about, you know, Thermal going away, but we'll see after this year's race.
So, I mean,
maybe it will.
After
I don't really see how a race at Thermal can be viable, because the track is not really conducive for a professional open wheel racing series.
I wouldn't even. I don't even think that's.
It's essentially a club track.
Yeah,
it's
club track. I mean, you can race on it, but I think the bigger concern is it spectator friendly?
No, it's not, and they're not the same thing as last year. They're not. It's only members only.
Yeah, which again, like I.
Yeah, it's garbage.
For a series that wants the fans involved,
yeah.
It's not very.
Yeah, exactly.
Involved, so
exactly. Yep. No, I 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, street racing is a part of racing. It's not my favorite. I really think they could just go back to Texas Motor Speedway, or they could go to COTA. I know there might be they might not get the draw that they want at COTA, but I really don't see the issue with it.
Yeah,
because if you want a top notch facility, then just go use it.
Right.
So, anyways, because there's plenty of other, like IMSA goes there, or no, I'm sorry, IMSA doesn't go there anymore, but WC goes there, and I mean, I don't really know how much more of a crowd draw WC gets over IMSA.
At COTA?
Yeah, at COTA.
Yeah, no, I'd say it's about the same.
Plus,
the biggest mistake they did was stop running that combined COTA, the IMSA WEC series. I mean, that's a festival of sports car racing. That's what you need to do. I mean, that's why I like the Sebring thing. I get at WEC, the WEC guys didn't like the fact that
they didn't get a
they didn't have real pits and stuff. You know, but the IMSA guys didn't seem to care at COTA. They were like, yeah, fine, we'll just set the trucks up out back and we'll deal with that and just go to the pit lane.
Right. So I mean, that was a great show. Hopefully they'll reunite that event, and if they want to, if it would be feasible, you could make it a big race where everyone is in the same race too. That which, if everything's supposed to be equal and whatnot, you could make it truly a really large event to have, which I think would be great.
That's true. That's true.
Just extend the entries like how you would for Le Mans, basically, of how you accept some outsiders.
So that'll be happening. That's exciting.
I guess keeping in the IMSA realm, Heart of Racing announces that they've confirmed an entry with the Valkyrie for next year.
So they're going to run one car, one Valkyrie, mm-hmm. and then they're going to run one car in GTD.
Yeah.
So there will be no GTD Pro car.
No. Which I'm a little surprised, but I mean, if they're just trying to take some of their pro guys from the pro car and put them in the prototype, then I guess that's the move.
Yeah, guess so too. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little bit disappointed that there isn't going to be two of them, or two Valkyries running.
Yeah, but this is, you know, because they got to run two, and you got to run two and whack.
Yeah. No, I get that.
So you get, you know, there's only, you know, I get it. I don't have a problem. So
it's just, it's definitely an interesting car that's different than everyone else, and I like it because of that. Yeah. It just means it's going to take a little bit longer for them to get up to pace, probably. Unless they've designed a great car that is just really good out of the box, which would be nice.
Speaking, just kind of jumping back to WEC, Vanwall could be coming back.
Yes, that was very interesting to read.
So they're waiting to get approval on their entry.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that would be
always exciting.
That'd be great.
Never know if that car will catch on fire or not.
But wasn't there news about them and Isotta Fraschini trying to pull resources together?
So Vanwall is going to use the motors that the Glickenhaus used.
Okay.
And we still don't know if Isotta Fraschini, they could be back. We don't know yet.
Right.
So they haven't said no to 25. They just said no to the rest of the season.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens. Yeah. The other news, we have a team moving from Fanatec, at least one car from Fanatec to Incident GTD, and that's DXDT Racing. And this comes on the heels of last week's news story that Brian Sellers was stepping away from driving with Paul Miller Motorsports and taking over as team manager. Program manager for DXDT, who runs Corvettes. So I'm not surprised by that because Brian's been in IMSA for so long. So that's exciting news.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think we also alluded to that a possible switch from of them over into IMSA could have been on the table. So
see how that goes, and maybe they'll bring a second car over.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But, I mean, it'll be nice to see multiple teams running the Corvette.
Corvettes, yep. Because we have the Pratt & Miller factory cars,
mm-hmm. and the AWA
and then we have
guys.
The AWA car. Well, they have two, but they only run one, so they're hoping to run a second. So we'll see what happens. But that's good news there. In more IndyCar news, Michael Andretti penned a letter to the fans, and just stepped away. He's stepping away from day-to-day operations to kind of more of a advisory role.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Good for him. I'm still wondering how much of a input this whole F1 deal is made into that decision, and if this was actually what Michael wanted, or if someone was,
or if this is what they need to get this Formula One deal over the line. So
I mean,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Regardless, we wish Michael the best, and I'm sure. I mean, he's not stepping away completely, but at least this will give him give him time to do a bit more of what he wants
do what he needs. So, the final IndyCar story is Friday. Testing starts back up for next season.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to the Speedway.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. Yeah. New drivers and new cars, things like that. The only team that will not be there is Prema.
Yeah. What are they doing any testing?
Well, not right now, because they're still trying to finalize the driver lineup. So, okay. So once that's finalized, they'll be out.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that covers everything.
Yeah, just about. I guess the only thing that I had of note was last weekend was the SCCA runoffs at Road America.
Yep.
There was a few good races. I don't know. I mean, from an outside perspective, it's always kind of a mixed bag because there's a few classes that don't have a lot of drivers, and on a 4 mile track, it gets sparse pretty quickly.
But you'll
end up with this crazy side by side finish because the two guys that are out leading the race are just literally sitting behind one another and just waiting for that final draft.
I really think they could probably condense that weekend a little bit more by putting more cars into. They could run more classes.
More classes.
You know? Well, like, so in a race, in, you know, some of the fields are really small.
Oh, so they combine classes.
Yes.
No, I mean, yeah, definitely that. I mean, that's. I guess that was. And then so you have some classes that are that scarce, and it's just a long 13 laps or whatever it was for each of their races, and then you had a few other fields where they were just stacked with numbers, but then you just run into the other problem of there's too many people and too many incidents that can happen, and then there's just a ton of caution time, which really brings to light the amateur role of drivers that you have in there. So I know everyone's trying to do their best, but yeah. And then the only thing that I kind of noticed with some of the small classes is, I mean, if this is the runoffs, and I mean, this is one of, if not the biggest national race of the year. Is that correct?
Yep.
So I mean, it's just it was a little sad to see a few of the classes with like a really small car count, and you're supposed to sit there and say that this is a national event. So
yeah,
I mean I know every class goes through its phase of popularity and whatnot, but I mean I think maybe they look into a rule of, you know, you need X many entries for a class for it to be able to to be run at runoffs. Otherwise, you can just tell everyone don't bother and save your stuff. And I know that's a harsh reality, but I mean, again, it's if you want the best of the best and you want to show off a healthy class. I mean, you got to think about what you're bringing too.
Yep.
But regardless, I mean, all of that bad stuff aside, there were some great races and some great racing moments that a few classes put on. So I mean, again, congrats to everyone that showed up, everyone that finished, and all the winners that came home.
Those folks are just purely doing it for the love of the racing.
Oh yeah.
Anyways.
No, and that the Formula 600 class was probably my favorite.
Is that the snowmobile engines?
Yeah. Just super low to the ground, and
there's about 50 of them.
It wasn't quite 50 of them, but it was definitely a good size class.
Yeah, gotcha.
But they definitely roared throughout the course, which was cool to hear.
Yeah. Just on some other news, did we talk about the new entry in V8 supercars?
The Supra?
Or is it, yeah. Did we talk about Toyota?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think that was a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago. I guess slight segue into supercars. This weekend is the Bathurst 1000.
Yes. The great race.
Yeah. So, I mean, on top of Petit Le Mans and all of the support races that are going on there at Road Atlanta, supercars is having its own big race of the year.
That is essentially Saturday night into Sunday for us.
Yes. So, if you were bored last weekend with very little going on, or forgot about the Indy 8 hours and SCCA runoffs like I forgot, there's some plenty good racing to watch this weekend.
That it is.
In addition, NASCAR is at Charlotte Roval, and then also. If anyone has it, Super Formula is doing a doubleheader at Fuji
this week. Ooh.
So.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that should be a good race.
That'll be excellent. All right. Man, that's pretty much all I have.
Yeah. I guess one more weekend off before.
Formula One.
Before, yeah, F1 returns from its fall break, because we needed another 4 week break in the season.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mix Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavender. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.